Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Jaya Gaura Jaya Gaura Nitaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Bharavacha Kachai Asvachata Sabashi Shumai Bhajavani A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ananta Kota Vaishnavini Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees Glory Shri Krishna Sankirtan Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam today, the chapter, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha, and we're on text 28. Yam yogino yoga samadhina raho. Jayanti lingat asato mamukshaya. Tashai shidaicha rishabak padhahato. Mukham papasyam stanum utsasarjaha. Please chant. Yam. Whom? Yoginaha. The yogis. Yoga samadhina. In mystic trance. Raha. In seclusion. Jayanti. Meditate upon. Lingat. From the body. Asataha. Unreal. Mumukshaya. Seeking freedom. Tasya of him. Eshaha, this, Daitya, son of Diti, Rishabha, the crest jewel, Pada, by a foot, Ahataha, struck, Mukham, countenance, Prapasyan, while gazing on, Tanum, the body, Utsajsarja, he cast off. Ha, indeed. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma continued, he was struck by a forefoot of the Lord whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion in mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of Diti's sons has cast off his mortal coil. Purport. The process of yoga is very clearly described in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said here that the ultimate end of the yogis and mystics who perform meditation is to get rid of this material body. Therefore, they meditate in secluded places to attain yogic trance. Yoga has to be performed in a secluded place, not in public or in a demonstration on stage, as nowadays practiced by many so-called yogis. Real yoga aims at ridding one of the material body. Yoga practice is not intended to keep the body fit and young. Such advertisements of so-called yoga are not approved by any standard method. Particularly mentioned in this verse is the word yam, or unto whom, indicating that meditation should be targeted on the personality of Godhead. Even if one concentrates his mind on the boar form of the Lord, that is also yoga. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, one who concentrates his mind constantly in meditation upon the personality of Godhead in one of his many varieties of forms is the first class yogi, and he can very easily attain trance simply by meditating upon the form of the Lord. If one is able to continue such meditation on the Lord's form at the time of one's death, one is liberated from this mortal body and is transferred to the kingdom of God. This opportunity was given to the demon by the Lord, and therefore Brahma and other demigods were astonished. In other words, the perfection of yoga practice can be attained by a demon also if he is simply kicked by the Lord. This reminds me of a little adventure we had in South India one time. We took the girls down there and were encouraged to go to outside of Udupi, about an hour or so, way in the jungle. There's an ashram, I think Abhiram Prabhu made it, and it's very remote, and they concentrate on sustainability and educating the local kids and everything. And so we traveled out there and stayed for a couple of days, and the person in charge, I can't remember his name, Tapa something. Anyway, he said, you all want to go on a hike through the jungle. We said, yeah, sure. The girls were all excited. Yeah, let's go. One girl, she didn't wear shoes. Boy, was she sorry. She was a tough one, you know. And so anyway, we went, headed off, and we're going to end up at a waterfall. So that sounded really attractive and everything. And so we start off, and he'd taken a few other people on this thing. And he was telling us, the stories of the jungle, and he showed us a tree where the jaguars had scratched it to sharpen their nails. And we're going, oh, really? Nice. And then all of a sudden, he gets lost. And all these monkeys are following us in the trees, you know, wondering where we're going. And then he has to get on a hillock to find out where he is. And then he says, oh, you want to go to that cave over there? It's full of bats. We go, no, that's okay. And then one girl steps in some water, and the leeches are swirling around, look like they're going in her body. I think it was Namamrita. group of sadhus, and she was freaking out, thought they were all going in her body screaming. And then we have to cross this log, big log, you know, over a ravine. And, you know, you're just scooting on the log. And it was really exciting. I loved it. And then we went to see, this is in the Sayadri Hills. It's really a jungle. I've never, like, been in a jungle like this. And there was we went up to Mookambika. Was Parvati, who was she killed a demon that was not be able to be killed by a man. So she appeared. And there's a long, long rod of iron. It's only about this big around, and it's stuck into a big boulder that I guess she was throwing around. And there have been geologists and different people coming on from Germany trying to figure out what the metal is, because it's been there so long and it's never rusted. Amazing. And you can't get it out. I mean, it's in that boulder. How they got it in that boulder, I don't know. Anyway, it was quite interesting. And so then it got very... Then we were at the waterfalls, and girls were jumping off, you know, hundreds of feet into the water and everything. And then we had to go back at night in the jungle. And I'm thinking of this, you know, who wants to go in seclusion into a jungle like this in the night? But we were told by our guide that there were devotees that decided that I want to try this. So he went out in the early morning japa period. He thought, I'm going to chant my japa out in the jungle. And he gets out there, and he never chanted such good japa. He said he was just so concentrated and so focused, because it was frightening. It's, can you imagine staying there for 1 day, 2 days, months, by yourself, and pretty, these yogis were real yogis. He also told a story of one person was looking in the caves and came across a skeleton with the japa beads in the hand. So this is true, that people actually, these people voluntarily would go out to be able to really concentrate and fix their mind on God and go out and just there, just in with complete seclusion in a place where you don't know what's next to you and what's going to eat you up. But anyway, now we can flip the calendar a few thousand years, or at least a few hundred years and everything, and now we're in 2025, and we have the Holy Name Festival. And we're already thinking about, oh, what sari am I going to wear? And I'm going to bring my lawn chair that has the little cup holder. And I'm going to bring my pillows. And I'm going to bring my blankets. And I'm going to bring this. And this is going to be my austerity, going to the Holy Name Festival. I'm going to merge myself in meditation on the Holy Name. But there's really no difference, because we do. We merge ourselves in the Holy Name. It's a... Lord Chaitanya's, you know, he realized we need a handicap because we're so darn fallen. So he arranges kirtan, a kirtan mela. How wonderful, you know. And the yogis, they remembered Krishna. And we go home after the first night or so, and we're humming all the new melodies that people have come up with, and we're blissful. We walk into that tent. Everyone should give something to that tent. I'm going to give something. Everyone should give something for that tent. And they go into this tent, and everyone's ecstatic. It gets, you know, especially when you get later, you know, and you see everyone's hands raised, and then you see Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda's beautiful hands raised, and you're just swept up in the nectar of the Holy Name, in actually remembering the Holy Name. So this is the same result, but what is just tailored for us. And Srila Prabhupada, he's made it even more sublime to ensure that we become Krishna conscious in this age. He has the whole program condensed within a few hours in the morning. He says, get up, you know, surrender some of your nonsense at night. Go to bed early, get up early, come here and just concentrate on the Holy Name. Chant, worship the guru, hear the class, and then in the middle of the day, serve the Lord in whatever way you can. And of course, we used to have the ISKCON sandwich, where you'd have the the morning and evening program and all the service mixed in, very nourishing. You know, you come in the evening and after day on Hari Nam, all 10 hours or whatever, come back and everyone is chanting the holy name. Now we have like a one-sided bread. Most of us either can come in the morning or the evening. Hopefully we have some kind of other layer on there too, of our own. But it's to ensure that we get the Supreme Lord's mercy in this lifetime. Here we see that Hiranyaksha, he's getting the result of pleasing the Lord. He's getting his mercy and a big kick in the side or in the face or whatever. But he's got the mercy because he's pleasing the Lord. So if nothing else from this pastime, we should realize that somehow or other in this lifetime, we should try to figure out how I can please the Lord, or at least please my spiritual master. And if it's in the form of a kick, then that's fine. But whatever it is, we should realize that we need as much help as we can get. And so therefore, Prabhupada made this society. And we don't have to be in seclusion. We can enjoy Sankirtan. We can enjoy festival after festival after festival. And enjoy being with Krishna and all his sublime devotees. But unfortunately, in this age, we have contacted a disease of becoming lazy, Manda Sumanda Mateos, very lazy. Sometimes, even in our spiritual practices, we kind of put it from the priority down a little bit, and we become more ready to manicure our material desires. Oh yes, I need this, I need that, I want to do this, I want to do that. This is what we should realize, that the laziness and the meditation, they really don't go together. If we're still, you know, entertaining ourselves with material things and we're trying to focus on Krishna, they just don't go together. You can't really focus, you can't concentrate, and when that happens, you don't really connect to Krishna. You don't really get that juice. Like when you plug it in, the plug in the socket, you get a complete circuit. You get the electricity. In the same way, if we not really concentrated, we don't get that connection. And then what happens is that indifference kind of soaks in. It sets in, and then we do a backspin. And we kind of get stuck in the mud of material existence, and we don't go forward. And we waste time. We can even waste this whole lifetime, even though we may have started in the bhakti process. So we have to be careful not to become lazy. But it's nice that bhakti is an active meditation. It does keep us busy. There's a variety of things we can do for Krishna to please him. And we should, you know, especially take up Prabhupada's wonderful activity of spreading Krishna consciousness, taking the holy name to the streets and giving it to everyone, even if they like it or they don't like it, they get it. And this is a way to change their lives, even in a small degree. I know that I heard the holy name at some festival. I didn't even know what it was, but it completely changed my life. Within 2 weeks, I was heading out west to find out who I was. So this is the potency of the ISKCON Hare Krishna movement, that we are giving Krishna free of charge. Previously in this chapter, we heard about how the fight was going on. It was pretty exciting. Krishna has a tendency to kind of play with his opponent, something like when a cat catches a mouse, kind of throws it around and everything plays with it. So he played around with Hiranyaksha to get him to fight harder, because he wanted a really good fight. So he would tease him and make him, you know, tickle him a little bit and say, okay, fight harder. And for the devotee, we sometimes see in our lifetime that this can happen too, that things might not go right, or things might go right, or it might be a little difficult. And Krishna's pinching us so that we wake up and that we try to serve harder and become more Krishna conscious. So we should recognize that and welcome it. And if we can, in our service, remember Krishna, not just do the service. I know I have a tendency to do a lot of service, but I'm not always remembering Krishna. But if we get such a bonus if we remember that we're doing it for Krishna. It just enlightens you and it highlights that service so much. So therefore, it takes a lot of practice, but this is what pleases Prabhupada most. They ask Prabhupada, what pleases you most? And he says, if you will just become Krishna conscious. Because then we have the potency to go out and make others Krishna conscious. There's a nice little thing it said here about Hiranyaksha getting kicked. He says, kicked by the Lord's hoof, by his forefoot. Has anyone ever been kicked by a hoofed animal? I have. My horse, boy, does it hurt. I mean, you can get kicked by your cat or your dog or something, little paw, nothing to it, but you kick by a hoof, boy, it can crack your bone. I know Devaki, who takes care of our cows over here, she was stepped on and she got her foot completely mashed one time, long, many, many years ago. So, and my granddaughter in Vrindavan, we took her there and a cow stepped on her foot and she was complaining for weeks. So yeah, this could be serious, but for the devotee, we're jealous. Oh, you got kicked by Krishna's hoof? Wow, you lucky thing, you. But in general, feet are considered not so nice to, you know, put next to people. It's actually very offensive if you touch people, you know, if you accidentally do that, you touch their head and say, oh, I'm sorry, you know. And the devotees have this funny little thing, they go like this. Right? When you want to go through somebody, you know, it's like Moses separating the sea or something. You don't expect everyone to move aside so you can, you don't touch them, you know. And because we don't want to offend anyone. So feet are usually considered not such nice objects. Prabhupada, though, he would use that expression, you know, kick on the scientist's face with boot. You know, so this is how serious we can be with our philosophy, which is very heavy. It can be heavier than that, than the cook kicking with our foot or our boot. But devotees have a different attitude when it comes to getting the foot dust of other devotees. I've seen some pretty exciting incidences where diving for the someone else's feet in the sands and near Mayapur, there was everyone's diving, trying to get the dust of the other people's feet. And that reminds me of Lord Chaitanya. He would go through Bengal trying to get to Vrindavan, but he was stopped, and so many followers were going after him. And wherever he walked, they would go behind, wherever his foot would go, and they would grab the dust. And then the whole road became full of potholes because everyone was taking the dust. I had a nice experience. I was only 2 weeks a devotee, maybe. And I've told the story before, but it's, you know, I went to Los Angeles because a big Rath Yatra was going to happen in San Francisco. Prabhupada came and they would go take him out on a walk, come back, and we would put a flower in his basket and he would give us a flower. And you would bow down. And then, so I bowed down, and these 2 feet were sitting there in his little canvas shoes, and I thought, I'm not supposed to touch a man, I know that, but, oh, Prabhupada's feet are right there. And so I very gently touched them, but that was an opportunity I'm glad I didn't miss. So that's there's many glories of the Lord's feet. Also, Lord Chaitanya, yeah, this picture here. Get up, you lazy tiger. You know, he kicked him with his feet. Get up and chant the holy name. Mercy, mercy for that tiger. And then we have Haridas Thakur, becoming very old. And he was suffering from some kind of disease or something. Lord Chaitanya came every day to see him. And one day, Lord Chaitanya said, you're not doing well, and Haridasa Thakur, I'm doing well, but my body is having these problems. The worst problem is I can't chant my round, all my rounds, all my 300 some odd rounds. But he said, and then he came the next day and he said, so how are you? And he says, would you like a benediction? And Haridasa Thakur said, I only want to be, at the time of my death, I just want to see your face and to have your feet on my chest. And of course he got that mercy of the Lord's feet on his chest. And then there's Kubja. Kubja, she was kind of lusty personified, so much so that she was after Krishna and was tugging at his dhoti, even, you know, come to my house, come give me some enjoyment. So Krishna went there and thought this is a kind of a weird circumstance, and he figured out how to satisfy her, so he put his feet on her breast and she also was satisfied. And of course Vamandev, his little teeny feet got very, very big when he expanded and took those big steps, and the last step on Bali Maharaj's head. Such mercy. He was very happy to be tricked by the Lord and get that mercy on his head. Kaliya, serpent, we know that story, trying to poison Krishna, poison all the residents of Vrindavan. Nasty, nasty attitude. But then the Lord was very kind, danced on his head. Wow, what mercy, not just touched it, but danced on his head. And he actually left impressions on the head of Kaliya. That's one way not to forget Krishna. Every time you look at your head, you see, wow, what mercy I got. In the wrestling match, one of the associates of the wrestlers, Shala, he got kicked by Krishna. He got that mercy. And Akura, we know that story. When he was on his way to see Krishna with the job of taking him and Balaram back for the big wrestling match, but he was focused on, I don't care, I just want to see Krishna. And he gets close to Nanda Maharaj's house and looks down and sees the footprints. Just sees the footprints of Krishna. And he jumps off the chariot and rolls in the dust in ecstasy just to get to see the footprints. Now we have this little metal thing on the altar, and if you notice after Artik on Sunday, everyone starts moving over to the altar, right? And everyone, sometimes they get a little bit, I want to be first, you know, and I don't want to miss it. Oh, they go from this side to that side. Because you get the mercy of the Lord's feet on top of that little hat thing or the lotus feet of Krishna. And so they touch it on the feet and then they place it on our head. And that's something we never want to miss, because that's our big opportunity. Mother Bhumi, she lamented horribly when Krishna left the planet, because he was running around on top of her all the time with his little lotus feet, and she missed it greatly. Great saints and sages, they are always praying, just let me take shelter of those lotus feet. So in our remaining years, however many we might have, we don't know, we should pray for to have the association of the devotees, especially at the time of death, so that they can help us to remember Krishna. This is the result of our little endeavor to serve Krishna, is that just somehow or other make some arrangement where I can remember Krishna. Whenever we hear of someone leaving their body, which is happening more often than it used to, we think, we immediately ask, well, was a devotee there? Were they chanting? Was someone chanting? Was there a tape playing? Because that's like our perfection, is to be able to see the Lord. Here, Aranyaksha, boy, he not only killed by the, he got to see the Lord and be killed by the Lord. What mercy he got. So we have to pray that we can have that association and be able to somehow or other to hear the holy name, because the holy name, Krishna, is there. There's no doubt that he says that he is in his holy name. So we have to, in this lifetime, to reach that perfection, we have to do some fine tuning. We have to do some fine cleaning. I was taking care of my lawnmower the other day. I was thinking, oh, maybe this is the last time I have to mow this. But it rained and it grass grew again. Anyway, but I'm always worried about my little battery that it'll run out. And sure enough, I get in it the last time I think I'm going to mow. Go to turn the battery on, nothing. And so then I think, okay, now I look at it and I see the connections look good. I tighten the connections. It still didn't work. And then I charged it. It still didn't work. But I was just being lazy. I had to take the terminals off. I had to take the screw out. I had to clean the screw really good because there was a little teeny bit of rust on there. And sure enough, I put it back together. It worked. So we have to really fine-tune. You know, there are things within each of us. And some of us, sometimes we get a little reminder that this is what got me here last time, this lifetime from last time. It's an attachment that I've been having for so many lifetimes, and I'm just too lazy. I don't want to look behind there and clean the dirty spots. So this is what we really need to do, is to pray that Krishna revealed to me, or the devotees, please reveal to me what it is that I'm doing that is keeping me from becoming Krishna conscious. And there's things. Sometimes it's the things that you don't want to work on, that you want to put on the back burner, that you'll get to later, that you should be working on now. And this is what we have to do to really focus on and realize that this is what's keeping us here in this rotten material world. So we are going this weekend to give the holy name to the parade at the downtown. This is an opportunity to help all those people start their devotional service. They see the devotees, they see the tilak, they see the beautiful performance of the holy name, and they say, oh, there's the Hare Krishnas again. They chant Hare Krishna, some of them play the instruments and dance with us and everything. They're on their road, starting on their road back home, back to Godhead. They call it homecoming, we call it going back home, back to Godhead. Yeah. So we have to be there for them. Who else is going to help them? So this weekend we should somehow or other put it in our schedule that we're going to go. Also in this purport, it describes this yoga practice many, many, many times. Prabhupada kind of puts down this so-called yoga that's going on here in Kali Yuga. He says it's on stage, and it's, you know, it's on, you can buy DVDs with how to do the yoga and so many different things. Sometimes we use that as an entrance to bring in bhakti. I know that I went down to Coleman, which is a ladies' prison, took a bunch of ladies there under the pretense that we were going to give a yoga class. It was the first time I went to that prison, and 50 ladies came. You know, that because they thought, oh, yoga. So we had one devotee do a yoga class. And and then they started asking, well, what a little bit more about yoga, especially when we chanted. They go, well, what kind of yoga is this? And then it got to be a little bit about God. And then I realized that there was one of the representatives of the jail listening to the whole thing. And afterwards, they said, you're out of here. This is not yoga. You know, you can't be talking about God. And that was into that. But many times we do go to yoga classes, and at the end we bring in kirtan yoga, right? And we use that pretense to actually show them what the mercy of the holy name, and that this is the topmost yoga system. But it's surprising that over the years that we haven't really been lumped into this so-called type of yoga that Prabhupada is describing here. You don't think of the Hare Krishnas as just that kind of yoga. You think of them as, you know, that this bhakti, it's above it all. I mean, this requires some real concentration, some real restrictions and vows. It requires, you know, a roots in a philosophy of that goes way far back. And so it's refreshing for us to know that we're not just lumped in, that we are very, very seriously committed to this process, that we would like to really finish up our business and get out. Here in Hiranyaksha, he got out pretty easy, got kicked in the face by the Lord. You know, that's a lot of mercy. So we should do what we can to please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna by figuring out some kind of service to do to him and take advantage of the program that Prabhupada has given us and the society that Prabhupada has developed all over the world. And go back home, back to Godhead, and take as many people with us as we can. So anyone have any comments or questions? Yes, Matthew.
What is it about the feet? Why the feet are so special about the Lord? Why? I don't understand exactly why.
Our feet aren't so special, yeah. But the Lord's feet are very special. The devotee's feet are very special because it's described that that's a shelter. These feet are like a shelter. And that Krishna and his feet are the same. Our feet aren't the same as our soul. But anyway, it's non-different than Krishna's. So wouldn't you want Krishna's feet on your head?
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
Hands too. Hey, I'll take whatever I get. But Krishna's lotus pink soft feet considered the most relishable.
And you will start actually feeling all of a sudden an ecstasy within. You cannot explain. And then you will also adharo means you will have a strong, fearless existence. These four things must manifest when you are connecting to the lotus feet of the Lord.
And it's described that you actually surrender. When we bow down, we're bowing down to Krishna's feet. And we're accepting this as a shelter to get rid of the fear and everything. So this is very important.
Such a nice class. I would like to quote a memory. One time Prabhupada's shoe was taken by a monkey. He ran away. And Prabhupada said, "Rascal." And servant came and said, "Okay, give me my cane and peda." Prabhupada asked for cane and peda. "Monkey has taken my slipper." And then monkey didn't give the slipper back, even though he got pera. And then he started chewing on the shoe. And then Prabhupada mellowed down. And then Prabhupada and one devotee got back the shoe from the roof later. And Prabhupada wore that shoe for a year and said, "Who knows whom that monkey was?" I would like to be that monkey.
Anything else?
I've heard many, many times that we have to honor where we are at. We can't pretend we're more advanced than we are, and we need to be very careful to be honest and realistic with ourselves. And at the same time, I want to invest as much as possible from that space in my relationship with Krishna and avoid becoming or being lazy, lazy in service, lazy in chanting, lazy in anything. So how do we try and find or navigate the right balance? How do we try and avoid being lazy and invest as much as we can while trying to protect ourselves from pretending we're more advanced than we are, or, you know, I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, you should always keep the goal in mind. You should always be thinking ahead that I want to reach that goal. But to avoid laziness, I know that when you're lazy, you don't get anything done, right? You don't get anything done. It's not productive. Then you get frustrated. So to avoid that and to keep the goal in mind and to keep going forward, you just realize that I have to do something in this lifetime
to make it different. So you have to always be thinking of the next thing to do, not be lazy and keep going forward. Then you're not frustrated. And it's not that you have to just stay in one place and think, oh, I don't, you know, I'm not very this, I'm not very advanced. But you should always be thinking, Prabhupada wants me to advance. And so we have to push ourselves. I think it was Bhaktivedanta Swami. I heard a lecture one time. He goes, sometimes I just think that, you know, I am a little Krishna conscious. And he fits into that role, it makes you more Krishna conscious. So don't be afraid to be Krishna conscious. We want to become Krishna conscious.
Hare Krishna. Two things. One, I don't remember where I heard this, but as far as like feet, that the feet are what carry you on the path, that you're, whatever path you're taking. So the lotus feet of the pure devotee, because they're walking on the, you know, the path to Krishna, so we want to get the dust from their lotus feet. And another thing, you mentioned some things about etiquette, you know, as far as feet, and I was thinking maybe this is a good time to bring up also just about stepping over devotees, that's also considered to be like poor etiquette. I don't know if anyone wanted to say anything more about that.
Also, Prabhupada got very angry when devotees were pushing articles that we use in Krishna's service, like the harmonium or even a pot in the kitchen. I think that's what the incident was. I can't remember, but someone was pushing it with their feet. That these are, you know, tadiyam, that they're objects that we use for Krishna, and so we should not, you know, touch the feet, and definitely don't step over devotees.
In order to become Vaishnava in Ishkan, we all need a Brahman initiation.
And there are many qualities, samadama, tapa, socham, all this explanation is given, where it says that one who uses feet, he's not a Brahmana. Forget about devotee. Devotee is higher than Brahmana. Brahmana never touch anything with the feet, always with the hand or some other, not with the feet. And we do sometimes, but it's not proper.
No, it's not proper.
Shimali, thank you for the class. Just one point regarding the feet. I heard in one lecture that knowledge actually resides in the feet, not in the head. What we have in the head is information. But knowledge resides in the feet, so that's why it's encouraged we serve senior devotees and Vaishnavas in a way that we please them, we get their blessings, and that's what gives us the wisdom. Because when you serve their feet, it's what gives us knowledge.
And actually, Harinam Chintamani, I try to memorize. Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Bhakta deha paile, Bhakta dehete thake Krishna sakati, sei deha haite hai Krishna bhakti. We are advancing means we are empowering ourselves with three shakti, three potency, sambit, sandini, ladini. That's all it is. And more details, 7.99, 6. Madhalila, 6.160. You can see Prabhupada repeats again and again this, that you have to be empowered, endowed with this shakti. And those shakti comes from the lotus feet. That's also there in Harinam Chintamani. That's why we bow down to the lotus feet of Guru, why we pay respect to the Vaishnavas, because of that. I wanted to add also a little bit on her question, that there is a beautiful verse Krishna spoke in 11th canto. Nideham aiddam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karna dharam. In that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I remember reading many years back, that we must take shelter of a Guru Karnadhar, the captain. This body is a boat. The whole analogy is given. This body, our individual body is a boat. And Guru's instruction, Krishna's instruction, is a favorable wind and the captain. So if we don't have a shelter of a senior devotee, who can actually, who has a three things, Sajatiya, Sasnigde, Sadhu Sangha Satabare, who cares for my spiritual advancement, who wants to see me actually succeed in spiritual progress. If we don't have that, then whether to progress or not, it is never possible to correct decision. Rather, we want to have a senior devotee like yourself. You know, you guide a lot of... When because their perception is higher than my perception. So when they say, okay, you should do this way, this way, this is how we should advance, never on our own. We should have always a senior devotee guiding us.
Nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna, glory to Srila Prabhupada.